The rain fell steadily that February morning in 2012 as 5-year-old Milad Salama boarded his kindergarten bus, clutching treats his father Abed had bought him the night before. Hours later, Abed would find himself in a butcher shop when news of a horrific bus accident near Jabba checkpoint reached him. Abandoning his half-cut order, he raced toward the scene with his cousin Hilmi, his heart pounding with dread. What he discovered was nightmarish. A burned-out bus shell flipped on its side, the acrid smell of burned metal hanging in the air. His estranged cousin Amin mentioned burned bodies with disturbing casualness, sending Abed spiraling into panic. What should have been a straightforward search for his son became an impossible maze of bureaucratic obstacles. Rumors swirled about where the injured children had been taken, a clinic in Aram, the fortified Rama military base, Ramallah Hospital, or perhaps Hadassah in Jerusalem with its advanced burn unit. But Abed's West Bank ID card, that simple green document that defined the boundaries of his existence, prevented him from entering Jerusalem, where his son might be fighting for his life. Suddenly, the separation system that Palestinians grimly joked about over coffee became brutally personal. The colored ID cards, the checkpoints with young soldiers, the towering concrete walls all stood as insurmountable barriers between a father and his possibly dying son. Every minute counted, yet Abed found himself trapped in a system designed specifically to limit his movement, forced to rely on others with different colored cards for help. Abed's life was marked by a forbidden love for Ghazal Hamdan, their romance conducted through secret letters and hasty phone calls, echoing his father's own unrequited love for a Hamdan woman. Born into Anata's leading families, Abed witnessed his village's transformation through Israeli occupation and settlement expansion. Their 7-year relationship flourished during the First Intifada. Denied a chance to study abroad without a passport, Abed joined the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine, working alongside Ghazal, who excelled at mobilizing women for the resistance. Throughout their courtship, they shared just one physical contact when she returned his necklace bearing their initials. This tender moment contrasted sharply with the surrounding violence, including a family feud that left Abed wounded by his cousin Amin and saw his brother Nael retaliate against another cousin. Their love story ended not because of political strife, but through family interference. When Abed moved to propose, his sister-in-law Lila falsely claimed Ghazal's father had rejected him for being a Salama. The truth, that this rejection was fabricated, would only emerge years later, haunting Abed through 3 subsequent marriages. Dani Tirza, a settler in Kfar Adumim and IDF strategic planner, designed the separation barrier after heading West Bank planning for 13 years. Through the Rainbow Administration, he created a segregated transportation system with bypass roads and routes that separated Jews from Palestinians. Following the Second Intifada's bloodiest month, Dani led the separation wall's construction. Working with 20 experts, he planned its 450-mile route, more than double the Green Line's length. The barrier's placement incorporated 80% of settlers while isolating Palestinian communities. In Jerusalem, the wall's route followed municipal borders but excluded several annexed populated areas. This created neglected enclaves of Jerusalem residents cut off from essential services. In one instance, paramedics had to breach a checkpoint to reach a heart attack victim who died after a 2-hour delay. The wall established an elaborate system of identity cards and permits controlling Palestinian movement, effectively imprisoning an entire population through bureaucracy. The 1993 Oslo Accords, while celebrated as a path to Palestinian statehood, instead entrenched occupation control. Dani Tirza's maps divided the West Bank into areas A, B, and C, with Palestinians gaining limited self-rule in Area A, 3%, while Israel retained control of Area C, 73%. Despite Palestinian negotiator Abu Ala calling it a prison, the leadership accepted these terms. Ibrahim Salama personified those who believed in peace despite spending 10 years in Israeli prisons during the First Intifada. He joined the Palestinian Authority's Preventive Security Organization, transitioning from investigating collaborators to monitoring resistance fighters. Even as settlements expanded, Ibrahim maintained optimism, developing unlikely friendships, including with settler Adi Shpeter from Anatot, their families growing close despite their complex history. On a rainy February morning, tragedy struck when a truck driven by Ashraf lost control past the Jabba checkpoint. The trailer hit a kindergarten bus on the shoulder, flipping it and sparking a fire that spread rapidly in the strong winds. Witnesses filmed as the bus burned, with black smoke rising above the cliff. Rescuers fought the flames with extinguishers and water bottles while discovering children's bodies. Huda Dabur's mobile health team and a local man, Salem, rescued the injured driver, who begged them to save the children. Salem made multiple attempts to enter the burning bus, joined by teacher Ula Julati, who had escaped but returned upon hearing children's cries. The crash occurred in Israeli-controlled Area C, with Palestinian paramedic Nader Moir arriving at 8:54 a.m. and Israeli paramedic Eldad Benstein at 9:09 a.m., 24 minutes after the initial impact. The morning after the accident, Abed and Haifa learned through DNA results that their son Milad was among the dead. Thousands attended his funeral in Anata, where his burned body was taken directly to the mosque, bypassing traditional washing rituals. During the three-day mourning, Ghazal visited after 15 years apart. Afterward, Haifa retreated into silence about Milad, while Abed refused to stop speaking of their son. Nancy Kawasme identified her son Salah by his clothing. Her grief was intensified by her husband Azam's abuse. He demanded divorce, compensation rights, and physically threatened her. After having another daughter in 2014, Nancy fled with her three children to her parents, escaping a marriage shattered by loss. Haya Alfhindi searched desperately for her son Abdullah across multiple hospitals. At Hadassah, she denied a burned boy's clothes were his. Her search ended at Ramallah Hospital, where a guard's cruel comment about charcoal caused her collapse. She spent the night in anguish until dawn, when the mosque announced Abdullah's death. The past remains powerfully present in this conflict. Historical traumas, the Nakba of 1948, the occupation in 1967, the intifadas, continue to shape daily reality. The Nakba's legacy lives on through family narratives, lost property claims, and keys to vanished homes. Personal stories like Ghazal and Abed's romance, Huda's family's exile, and the settlement on Abed's ancestral land interweave with broader historical forces. The bus tragedy exemplifies the conflict's systemic issues: segregated infrastructure, unequal emergency response, and bureaucratic barriers. Palestinian parents were detained at checkpoints while their children were in danger, highlighting the deep societal divisions maintained by separate systems. Yet humanity persists. Salem saved children from the burning bus regardless of identity. Huda defied authority to serve impoverished communities. Ibrahim and Adi's unlikely friendship crossed cultural barriers. These connections show that even in entrenched conflicts, our shared humanity emerges most powerfully during crises.